Silo 1. 56. There were voices outside the drone lift. Boots. Men walking back and forth, searching for them. Donald and Charlotte clung to one another in the darkness of that low-ceilinged space. Charlotte looked for some way to secure the door, but it was a featureless wall of metal with just a tiny release for the latch. Donald held back a cough, could feel a tickle in his throat grow until it covered every square inch of his flesh. He kept both hands clasped over his mouth and listened to the muted shouts of "Clear!" and "All clear!" Charlotte stopped fumbling with the door, and they simply huddled together and tried not to move, for the floor made popping noises any time they shifted their weight. They had spent all day in the small lift, waiting for the search party to come back to their level. Darcy had left to be on shift when everyone woke up. It had been a long day of fitful non-sleep for Donald and his sister, a day when he knew the search party would expand and grow desperate. Now they had a killer on the loose, and an escaped prisoner from Deep Freeze, too. He could imagine the consternation this was causing Thurman. He could imagine the beating he would get when they were discovered. He just prayed these boots would go away. But they didn't. They grew nearer. There was a bang on the metal hangar door, the pounding of an angry fist. Donald could feel Charlotte tense her arm across his back, crushing his cracked ribs. The door moved. Donald tried to push against it to hold it in place, but there was no leverage. The steel squeaked against his sweaty palms. This was it. Charlotte tried to help, but someone was cracking open their hiding spot. A flashlight blinded them both. It shined right in their eyes. "Clear!" came the yell, close enough that Donald could smell the coffee on Darcy's breath. The door was slammed shut, a palm slapping it twice. Charlotte collapsed. Donald dared to clear his throat. It was after dinner by the time they finally emerged, tired and starving. It was quiet and dark in the armory. Darcy had said he would try to come back when his shift started, but he had been worried the night shift wouldn't be as quiet as usual, not so suited to slinking away. Donald and Charlotte hurried down the barracks hall and into separate bathrooms. Donald could hear the pipes rattle as his sister flushed. He ran the sink and coughed up blood, spat and watched the crimson thread spiral down the drain, drank from the tap, spat again, and finally used the bathroom himself. Charlotte already had the radio uncovered and powered up by the time he got to the end of the hall. She hailed anyone who might hear. Donald stood behind her and watched her switch from channel 18 to 17, repeating the call. No one answered. She left it on 17 and listened to static. "How did you raise them the last time?" Donald asked. "Just like this." She stared at the radio for a moment before turning in her seat to face him, her brow furrowed with worry. Donald expected 1,000 questions. How long before they were taken? What were they going to do next? How could they get someplace safe? 1,000 questions, but not the one she asked, her voice a sad whisper.
"When did you go outside?"
Donald took a step back. He wasn't sure how to answer.
"What do you mean?"
he asked, but he knew what she meant.
"I heard what Darcy said about you nearly getting over a hill. When was this? Are you still going out? Is that where you go when you leave me? Is that why you're sick?"
Donald slumped against one of the drone control stations.
"No," he said.
He watched the radio, hoping for some voice to break through the static and save him. But his sister waited.
"I only went once. I went thinking I'd never come back." "You went out there to die."
He nodded. And she didn't get angry with him. She didn't yell or scream like he feared she might, which was why he had never told her before. She simply stood and rushed to him and wrapped her arms around his waist. And Donald cried.
"Why are they doing this to us?"
Charlotte asked.
"I don't know. I want to make it stop. But not like that."
His sister stepped back and wiped her eyes.
"Donnie, you have to promise me, not like that."
He didn't reply. His ribs ached from where she'd embraced him.
"I wanted to see Helen,"
he finally said.
"I wanted to see where she'd lived and died. It was a bad time, with Anna trapped down here."
He remembered how he'd felt about Anna then, how he felt about her now. So many mistakes. He had made mistakes at every turn. It made it difficult to make any more decisions, to act.
"There has to be something we can do," Charlotte said.
Her eyes lit up.
"We could lighten a drone enough to carry us from here. The bunker busters must weigh 60 kilos. If we lighten another drone up, it could carry you."
"And fly it how?"
I'll stay here and fly it. She saw the look on his face and frowned. Better that one of us gets out, she said. You know I'm right. We could launch before daylight, just send you as far as you can go. At least live a day away from this place. Donald tried to imagine a flight on the back of one of those birds, the wind pelting his helmet, tumbling off in a rough landing, lying in the grass and staring up at the stars. He pulled his rag out and filled it with blood, shook his head as he put it away. I'm dying, he told her. Thurman said I have another day or two. He told me that a day or two ago. Charlotte was silent. Maybe we could wake another pilot, he suggested. I could hold a gun to his head. We could get you and Darcy both out of here. I'm not leaving you, his sister said. But you would have me go out there alone? She shrugged. I'm a hypocrite. Donald laughed. Must be why they recruited you. They listened to the radio. What do you think is going on in all those other silos right now? Charlotte asked. You dealt with them. Is it as bad there as it is here? Donald considered this. I don't know. Some of them are happy enough, I suppose. They get married and have kids. They have jobs. They don't know anything beyond their walls, so I guess they don't have some of the stress about what's out there that you and I feel. But I think they have something else that we don't have. This deep feeling that something is wrong with how they're living. Buried, you know. And we understand that, and it chokes us, but they just have this chronic anxiety, I think. I don't know. He shrugged. I've seen men happy enough here to get through their shifts. I've watched others go mad. I used to play solitaire for hours on my computer upstairs, and that's when my brain was truly off and I wasn't miserable. But then, I wasn't really alive either. Charlotte reached out and squeezed his hand. I think some of the silos that went dark have it best. Don't say that, Charlotte whispered. Donald looked up at her. No, not that. I don't think they're dead, not all of them. I think some of them withdrew and are living how they want quietly enough that no one will come after them. They just want to be left alone, not controlled, free to choose how they live and die. I think it's what Anna wanted them to have, living down here on this level for a year, trying to find some life without being able to go outside. I think it changed how she viewed all this. Or maybe it was being out of that box for a little while, Charlotte said. Maybe she didn't like what it felt like to be put away. Or that, Donald agreed. Again, he thought how things would have been different had he woken her with some trust, had heard her out. If Anna was there to help, everything would be better. It pained him, but he missed her as much as he missed Helen. Anna had saved him, had tried to save others, and Donald had misunderstood and had hated her for both actions. Charlotte let go of his hand to adjust the radio. She tried hailing someone on both channels, ran her fingers through her hair, and listened to static. There was a while there when I thought this was a good thing, Donald said. What they did, trying to save the world. They had me convinced that a mass extinction was inevitable, that a war was about to break out and claim everyone. But you know what I think? I think they knew that if a war broke out between all these invisible machines, that some pockets of people would survive here and there. So they built this. They made sure the destruction was complete so they could control it. They wanted to make sure the only pockets of people who survived were in their pockets, Charlotte said. Exactly. They weren't trying to save the world. They're trying to save themselves. Even if we'd gone extinct, the world would have gone right on along without us. Nature finds a way. People find a way, Charlotte said. Look at the two of us. She laughed. We're like weeds, aren't we, the two of us? Nature sneaking out along the edge. We're like those silos that wouldn't behave. How did they think they would ever contain all this, that something like this wouldn't happen? I don't know, Donald said. Maybe the kinds of people who try to shape the world feel like they're smarter than chaos itself. Charlotte switched the channels back and forth in case someone was answering on one or the other. She seemed exasperated. They should just let us be, she said. Just stop and let us grow however we must. Donald lurched out of his chair and stood up straight. What is it? Charlotte asked. She reached for the radio. Did you hear something? That's it, Donald told her. Leave us be. He fumbled for his rag and coughed. Charlotte stopped playing with the radio. Come on, he said. He waved at the desk. Bring your tools. For the drone? She asked. No, we need to put together another suit. Another suit? For going outside. And you said those bunker busters weigh 60 kilos. Exactly how much is a kilo?